according to St. John, the 6th chapter. In John's Gospel, the feeding of the 5,000 leads to extended teaching, in which Jesus identifies himself as the true bread of life. Finally, in these verses, he makes a connection that would not be understood until after his death, in light of the church's celebration of Holy Communion. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Some of you will know the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who lived during the Second World War. He fought against the Nazi restrictions on churches as he trained young men in ministry, and he saved the lives of many who would have otherwise died in the Holocaust. Bonhoeffer also wrote a book called Life Together. In this book, he describes the way that Christians behave in community in order to focus on the bread of life that we receive from the Lord. Dietrich Bonhoeffer died by enemy hands right before the American soldiers came to free the remaining prisoners where he was interred. He could have stayed safe in American territory, but he went back to Germany in order to save other prisoners. This is what life together as Christians looks like. For each day that we are given, we must remember that we are filled with the Spirit and to conduct ourselves in ways that are mindful of the gift that Christ has given us. We sacrifice what is of the world in order to live for and in worship to Christ. When we receive the bread at communion, this is an action that shows dedication to our relationship with God and also with each other. The reason that we commune is also made clear in the Proverbs reading for today, where wisdom gathers what she needs for the meal after she has built her house and sends her servants out to bring the simple people in. She says, "Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight." Ephesians also addresses the need for Christian maturity by moving away from acts of debauchery, such as getting drunk with wine. The life together that Dietrich Bonhoeffer speaks about is hard to live because it is in contrast to the life that most people in society are living. They look at us as foreigners from a strange land because of what we value, how we act to show what we value, and how we speak as a part of that action. When Jesus speaks, he speaks the truth. Yet when he says that believers need to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, the Jewish people question this. They say, "How can he offer us his flesh and blood to eat?" We can understand this because Christ has helped us to understand. He has spoken the truth, and he has shown us in our own lives how he indeed abides in us, and we in him, and he has blessed us with eternal life. We know this is true because Christ himself is the truth. In Psalm 9, we learn more about how to be truthful ourselves. We are told that in order to gain long life and prosperity, keep your tongue from evil speaking and your lips from lying words. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Why must we act differently from our secular neighbors in our lives? When we act in a way foreign to what the neighbor is used to, are we truly loving and blessing our neighbor? Indeed, we are. They are watching us do what they need to do in order to live forever. The learning of many people is enhanced by imagery, and at any age, we learn through action and experience. These actions do not need to be big like Dietrich Bonhoeffer's when he saved lives and rebelled against the Nazis, then died at their hands. Each of us lives life for God through simple actions as well. There is a man who I have watched continue to heal against the expectations of the world because of his faith in God. Each time that he puts his legs over the side of the bed or moves onto the computer chair from his bed or does anything else during his day, he praises the Lord and gives testimony to the Lord through each blessing that he receives. He does not have the physical capacity or a full spine that he needs to get up, but God has given him that capacity. Someday I hope he can come here and share his testimony with all of you, but today he has given me permission to share it. Some actions may seem small, but they are important in God's world, although they may not be important in this world. Each of you is precious to God and is a picture in the world's gallery of who God is. My work in hospice chaplaincy is a blessing because I retain memories of those I work with and have images of those both here and gone that remind me of the life they have lived for God. Most of them are Christians, and they have ministered to me as I have ministered to them, sharing stories and experiences and talking with me about Christian faith and community. I have also been blessed these past few weeks to work with a palliative care team, which manages the symptoms and pain of serious illnesses for patients in the hospital and follows up with them in the clinic as well as nursing home facilities and at home when they are out of the hospital. One of the professionals on the palliative care team shared with me that their pastor held a sermon series about life and death and living with the awareness that we do not have forever to live. I am proud to preach to this congregation because I do not see a congregation that is engaged in a life of debauchery together, but a congregation of people that know that they do not have forever to live. That is why you spend your time living with a purpose. You raise your families, are involved in church and community improvement, and you share the abundant blessings that God has given you with each other and with your other neighbors. Then you take that blessing back to God in worship. It was difficult for me to understand the use of the word simple in Proverbs because, yes, this congregation is humble, and you know that the best life is one that is lived simply, simply for family, simply for neighbor, simply for God. However, I also know that each person is a mosaic of different pieces that comes together into a bigger picture. Each of the pictures that I see today and each of the many pieces I cannot see within those pictures is beautiful. Keep on living with the knowledge that the bread of life has been given for you, you people of faith, and that there is joy in living differently. There is joy in living in God's way and not in the way that the world lives. For this is the bread that our ancestors ate, and they died. This is the bread of life, and the one who eats of it shall live forever. Let us remember that the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack nothing that is good. Amen.